All right, good morning. Kim, before you take the next bite there, would you do me the honors and pray for me this morning?
Yeah. Lord God.
Hold on. Get the microphone.
Thank you. Hey, God, we thank you for this morning, Lord God. And we just lift Bob up to you this morning, Lord. We just pray that your power and your anointing would just flow right through him today, Father God. And we would hear and we would learn in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. This is part trois of one I did 2 weeks ago. Ray and I kind of split up our teachings. So this is not a continuation of last week, which was Ray, which was a continuation of 2 weeks before that, but this is a continuation of 2 weeks ago when I spoke, 1 week before he spoke, and a week after he spoke. Do you follow that?
No.
Okay, good. If you did, I'd worry about you. All right, what we talked about, you know, sometimes I'll get up here and I'll ask a kind of tongue-in-cheek question. But it was really an important thing. And the question was, are you a perfect Christian? Of course, most people will not raise their hand. Like I've done a class on holiness. I said, how many people here are holy? Nobody would raise their hand, except Pastor Don raises his hand for everything. He doesn't want to miss out. He doesn't know what it is, but he don't want to miss out on it. But again, everybody, I asked a couple of people, are you a perfect Christian? They said no. And then I asked, well, what is a perfect Christian? They didn't know. Well, if you don't know what a perfect Christian is, how can you say you are one or you're not one, right? So we took a look at what a perfect Christian is. And where do you think we would do that? In God's Word, right? We don't care what we think, what we say, what we believe, or what Mr. Webster says, which we went to Mr. Webster. It was fairly accurate, fairly. But, you know, the new Webster, they've took God out of everything, so it was missing that equation. But we're going to continue with that today. And I think I answered that question that we are perfect Christians. Not perfect, because everybody that gave me an answer to saying that they were not a perfect Christian were telling they were not a perfect man or woman. Now, that's not what I ask, right? I know you're not perfect. Sarge comes close. But we're not perfect, no one, right? As far as a man or a woman. But we can be perfect Christians. And there again, if we don't know what perfect means, are we sure what Christian means? I asked, were you a perfect Christian? To answer that question, you now have to know what Christianity means in that context and what perfection means. And now that's what we talked about last week. I used the verse in Colossians 1:28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Now, if God is asking us to do something, we have to be able to do it, right? And I use two other versions, and they're exactly the same, other than they change the word perfect in the United Kingdom version of the NIV, they use the word fully mature. In the New Life version, they use complete. And that all runs hand in hand. So what we're looking at for a meaning is we are to be perfect, complete, and fully mature. Complete means what? Lacking nothing, right? So we're all born with a job, a college education, the ability to talk and walk, right? No. Completeness means to be complete or fully mature where you're at. We tell some kids, man, you act mature for your age, right? Do we act the same way now? I do, yes, that we did when we were 8 years old. Most men do. Women, well, I'll address this one to you. No. So when we're talking about being fully mature, it means at that time and that point in your life, right? Because we're constantly going to striving and can get better in everything that we do, correct? So there's three simple things to be a perfect Christian, right? Number one, should be self-explanatory. Turn your life over to God. in parentheses, through Jesus Christ. If you let that statement stand, turn your life over to God, that's too broad. Many people say, well, I follow God. That's not the God we're talking about, right? Hindus serve a God. Muslims serve God, they say. But to turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God, period. All right? So you turn your life over to Him. And the second thing you need to do is start discerning His will for your life. Now, in the Word, it talks about God's purpose, plan, and will for your life. Right? So, the three are together in one sentence, so they can't be the same thing. Am I correct? They are different things. Now, when we're talking about perfection and God's works in us and everything and what we should do, it breaks down to two parts, corporate and personal. The first two in that, purpose, plan, and will, are actually corporate. They're the same for every one of us. What is God's purpose in all our lives? To draw us back to Him. Every one of us, we're lost. He loves us. He wants to draw us back to Him. That's His purpose. Now, if you have a purpose, you have to have a way of doing it, right? I want to go out that door. I have to make a plan. Well, I'm going to walk over there and go out the door. What's God's plan to bring us back to Himself? The second thing I said there that you have to have, Jesus Christ, right? Our Savior, our Messiah. God cannot have us with sin in front of Him. He had to have somebody to make that sacrifice for once and for all. And that's what we have to accept to get back to God. But the last thing is will. And that's where it's different in every one of our lives. God didn't create Brian back there for the same purpose, same walk as myself. Ashley is different. Kim is different. My wife, Ray. Everybody has a different will on their life. And how do we discern that will? Listen to God. If God wants you to do something, He's not going to tell you, well, I wish Ray would get me a cup of coffee. I'm just going to sit here and kind of hope that He gets me a cup of coffee. Wouldn't it be better if I asked, Ray, would you get me a cup of coffee? Same way with God. If God wants us to do something, He's going to ask it, right? So what we need to do is discern what God wants for us as an individual. The first two are corporate, purpose and plan, to draw us to Him through Christ, right? And we can do that through the gifts He has given us. Those two can be broke down into two parts, corporate and personal. What do you think would be a corporate gift that we all have?
Life.
Life? Good point. I didn't even put that one down, but that's an excellent point. We all are alive, absolutely. And that life come from God. You're right. But I was thinking of a corporate gift that He's given each and every one of us is the Holy Spirit. Right? Who can have the Holy Spirit? Anyone that's saved and asked for it. Right? There are some instances where people didn't even ask for it and received it. It's a free gift that God gives, right? You can't buy it. As He told Simon the sorcerer, right? You can't buy this gift. It's a free gift. That is the corporate portion. Also, His Word. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same Word. If you have an instruction book, if you have a manual, guys, I know we're terrible at this. Use it, right? If someone said, I can give you a book that will teach you how to be a perfect Christian, how to be able to do everything that's required of you in this world and to be great at it. Who would not want to read that? That's how they promote self-help books by some dipwad named Fred Tukahamahamahama that tells you, get some of this new age stuff out there and says, you know, that you got to get to know yourself better, you know, get close to your navel and your mind and stuff. I don't know.
Know the nine levels of your soul.
Yes, yes. You would be surprised. The goofier it is, the better seller it is.
Yeah.
I think it was P.T. Barnum that once said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell one so big it can't be disproved. Right? You know, I walked on the moon once. Prove it. I can't. The government can't prove that people walked on the moon. There's like 20% of the population don't believe that men walked on the moon, right? Make it so big that nobody can really... We're still into the flat earth thing, yes. Do you know how ridiculous there's a new book out that there is this, that that's all a lie about a round earth, that it is a flat earth? I don't even remember the name of it and don't want to, but there, you can find a book on anything. But God's Word, those are the things that are corporate that we all have as gifts, right? But He gives us personal gifts, too, that decide more about what we should do on a personal level. And that is, say, a gift of music. It's obvious I don't have that. We have... Kim, you don't have that gift? I've seen you dance. I didn't want to say anything, but... But we have a lot of people in here that have a gift of music. Right? We know who that is. You know who you are. And also, those of us that do not, we know who we are. Right? What earthly good would I be to God if in my stupid mind I thought I was meant to be a singer? And the rest of my days I pursued that and tried to get up on stage every place that had a karaoke or Amazing Grace. You know, how many people do you think I'd win? I'm sorry, buddy, did I hurt your ear? How many people do you think I could win over for God with my singing voice? They'd need a Savior, yes. Save me, Lord. There's also personal gifts, a gift of teaching. Not everybody can do that. That's always, whenever they ask for a list of fears, the world-famous sociologists and psychologists ask for these lists and make these important experiments that mean absolutely nothing. On the top three is always speaking in front of a crowd. Now, why is that so scary? Really? How many people here know somebody that was so bad in front of a crowd that the crowd come up and killed them? You? Okay, I believe that. It wasn't you, was it? Okay. Almost. But no, that just doesn't... What's the fear then? Well, gosh, I'm going to look stupid, you know? Look, when we were all living in the world, when I was a drunk, loved to get high, you know, sometimes I did stupid things. And don't shake your head, Sharon. I didn't ask for... Okay. We all did that. And were we really worried? No, we went out and did it again, didn't we? No. 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 No, no. 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 One day, Ray... I'll throw one out there. Ray was talking about driving around in the old neighborhood looking cool. I was 23 years old, I think, had me an Eldorado. I was a foreman at Fleetwood. I had on my bell bottoms and, you know, my collar that come out past my shoulder. I was nothing but bad.
Hey, you forgot your white shoes and white pants.
Of course, that's automatic. You know, shouldn't even have to say that. That tied the outfit together. But I remember Sharon woke me up one day and said, you drunk last night? Why? She said, I could tell by the car. I didn't park it right, straight, because sometimes he'd be sticking out in the road and stuff. You know, we didn't have a garage at the time. I had to park on the street, so, you know. You couldn't always tell. I couldn't find the street sometimes. But she said, no, it's nice and straight. I said, well, what's the problem? She said, it's in the front lawn. Oh, don't you think my neighbors looked out and said, Trunk's back again? I didn't care.
Rob, were you listening? No.
No.
They all started copying me. Yeah. Hey, that guy knows how to park.
But those of us that have a little bit of a gift of teaching, that's another gift from God, right? If you don't use it, what good is a gift? If you can play the piano, but you never do, what good is that gift? A gift is only good if you use it. And a gift is only a gift if it comes from God. That's the only good gift, right? We have abilities, some more than others. You know, if you were born a little taller, you might be better at basketball than, say, Kim. No offense, Kim. Right? That's just a natural ability, possibly. But there's God-given abilities. I've seen guys that are, like, shorter than me that play a great game of basketball. You know, there's a gift there. But you have to, three things to be a perfect Christian. Turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ. Deserve to discern His will for you personally. And three, do it through the gifts He has given you. He's not going to ask you to do something that you don't have the ability to do. Right? He's going to ask you something that you have the ability to do. Of course, most of us think we have no ability whatsoever, right? When God asks to do, I can't do that. What you're trying to say really to God is, I don't want to do that. We were talking the other day, I think it was in Wednesday class of Pastor Don about throwing out fleece. Is it okay to, you know, question God and so forth? There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And I've often said that God asked me to do some stupid things because I'm a stupid person. And He knows that. But still, He's asked me to do some things that I could not figure out how in the natural. And I'll simply say, God, if this is Your will, if I'm discerning You correctly, I don't know how to do this. Make a way, and I'll happily do it. And He has always done that. Always. Miraculously, in a lot of cases. So if God is asking you to do something, He's going to make the way for you to do it. You don't have to worry about that. That is God's part. Your part is to do it. Like I say, if it falls apart, you know, He's asked me to go over and say things to people, and they've just laughed at me, right? Told me I was crazy, and I said, well, tell me something I don't know. I told a story about a young lady in church here that it was a younger girl. She was in high school at the time. Her family was here. And God said, go over and pray over there. There's a real spirit of suicide on that girl. Now, this was a young, she was probably 16, maybe 17 at the most, you know, I'm not sure. But she was young compared to me. And I said, God, this is where you use a little bit of common sense along with discernment. You wouldn't just go up to a girl in front of her parents. You're contemplating suicide. That's horrible, right? If she wasn't, I was scared that it might trip something. You never know, right? So you have to always err on the side of caring more about that person. So what would I do in that case? I went to Pastor John. I said, Pastor John. He said, are you sure? I said, sure as I can be about anything. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll talk to her parents first on the side. You know, he has a lot. Pastor John is nice. You know, I don't have that gift of niceness. He has a way of talking, you know, and calming people down. He talked to him, and they said, well, you know, you can talk to her. You know, this is if you, and we did, Pastor John and I talked to her. And she just completely looked at me like I was crazy, said I did not know what I was talking, why would I even say such a thing, and how horrible I was, and, you know, and I would have to agree with her. Even if it went no further, I wouldn't have cared. I would rather kind of go on the side of making a mistake than having something happen. How would I have felt if I hadn't said anything? But it was probably close to a year later. They had left the church. I don't think it was for that reason, but they had left the church for some reason. And they called back, and they told Pastor John and thanked him that this young lady had tried to commit suicide. But They had been, ever since that, it put something in their mind, they had been kind of watching. They said, we've seen some signs, but we weren't believing it, you know. And she did try and commit suicide. So even if you're not accepted in what you say, makes no difference. If God asks you to do something, you step out and do it. It's His will, and He's going to make a way to have that happen. Are we understanding this?
Mom?
Yes, Sarge.
The word perfect. I mean, that's the hard thing.
Oh, he's coming. Forgot who had it there for a minute.
Okay, the word perfect, like the uneducated mind is, you know, perfect is perfection. You know, nothing wrong. You know, and you say, how do you be a perfect Christian? We'll never become a perfect. Maybe it's like the
sure.
language word.
You're going to become, you can be a perfect Christian.
No, not perfect as we think.
What is the definition of perfect? A very good point, right? I said that's the two things. If I said that, asked you, are you a perfect Christian? You need to know the definition of Christian and the definition of perfect. What I just gave you was a definition of a Christian. Now, what do we mean by perfect, Sarge? As usual, Sarge is, I think he's clairvoyant or something. He's reading my mind. That's the next thing I was going to speak about, Sarge. What does it mean to be perfect? All right, I'm going to be, for the last 15 minutes here, throwing out some scriptures, so ride with me. As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. To be perfect, you take refuge in God. You hide behind your big brother, right? Your father. For God, His way is perfect. So when God asks you to do something, you're doing something perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. Flawless is another way of saying perfect, isn't it? If you're following God's word, you can be perfect. That's what a perfect Christian is, I just read. One that turns their life over to God, listens to Him, and then does it. I'm going to be throwing out a few scriptures here. Don't even bother turning to them. Just write them down and go to them later. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, which tells you you can't be perfect, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Turning from the old, what the world is telling you, to what? Renewing your mind in Christ. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you're doing God's will in your life, that's perfect. That's all He asks. You are now perfect. Ever hear somebody say, well, this is my children. Yeah, they're perfect. What are you simply saying? Most people say that their kids are obedient, right? Most of us, that little brat won't listen to me. What's a perfect kid? One that listens to his parents and obeys them, right? Just like that group sitting over there. Every one of you guys do that, correct? Shake your heads. Okay, thank you. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So if your gift in teaching or your gift in music comes from God, it's perfect. And if you're walking out in that, you're working out in perfect Christianity for you. Are you going to get more perfecter later? Yes, because I said earlier, being perfect is where you're at now, right? The minute everybody's saved, you do not become perfect the next day. I made that word. I can do that. I have such a command of the English language that I have the ability to do that on the run. If I can't find the right word, I'll make one, okay? But how many here the day after they saved were a perfect Christian? Everybody was, because you were perfect at that time. You just got saved. How are you supposed to go out and walk out God's word when you don't even know it? You're perfect at where you're at. You're mature to the level of a day-old Christian. You should get mature-er as you go forward. You should get more perfect as you go forward, right? You should become more complete as you go forward. And complete is another word that we used. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get all the scriptures, but let me explain. Complete means nothing missing, right? If you ever opened a box to assemble something, some of the parts are missing, it was not complete. God has given you everything you need to be a complete person that he wants you to be, right? But that by itself is no good. We use the analogy of, I think you sent me a text on that, didn't you, about the jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah.
I thought it was your husband at first. Then I thought, jigsaw puzzles? Nah, not him. What good is a puzzle piece? You lay out a puzzle piece. Does it look perfect and complete? Yes and no. Yes in that it really is, but does it look that way? No. Is it perfect by itself? What purpose does it serve? To complete, you add that to other parts that are perfect and complete, and it fits perfectly together. And then as a whole, it makes a perfect and complete picture. You know the old saying, no man is an island, no Christian is by himself. That's why God made churches, right? He didn't make drive-by waving Christians. Hi, I'm a Christian. Hi, me too. Bless you. So long. That's God wants us to interact together, to go out as a whole. Even in the New Testament, anytime any of the apostles went out, they were sent out by the other apostles from the main church. They got prayer. They got direction. They were sent out with backing, right? To be complete, you have to be a part of a whole. And that starts, like we said, with salvation, right? We're all part of God's family. We're all part of God's plan. To be complete, you have to be complete to be able to go together with other complete people to make a completely perfect church. Is there a perfect church? Don't even answer that. It's another teaching. But if we think of all we have to do is play our part, that little, looks like little amoebas. You ever seen puzzle pieces? They look like a little amoeba. Does it look like it's perfectly formed? No. But when it's added to the rest of the parts, you see, wow, that was made perfectly to go there. Right? How many people here have ever started at another church before this one? Most of us, right? Why are you here? How long have you been here, Kent? 24, wow. You were 2 when you come here? Okay. We got Betty. I'm not even going to ask you. Betty was here. Betty helped dig the basement. She's one of the founding members. She's been here since the very beginning with the pastors, right? A very long time. Why is she here? Because this is the puzzle that she's a part of, right? You could take a puzzle piece that fits perfectly from another puzzle. You know, a lot of these puzzles, they have the same parts, but they just print a different picture on it. You could take that part out of another one that has a different picture and put it into one, and it's not going to look right. Even though it fits perfectly, it does not, because that's not where it's supposed to be. We're mostly here, those of us that have been here 20, 30, and 40 years, know that this is where we are meant to be, right? Kim, how long have you been here?
Almost 24 years.
Good. Good. I started here in 87. That's quite a while ago. I was only 18. Right? What, Ashley? I've seen that look. Well, whatever answer you get, you triple it and you're right. First Corinthians 1:10. A church divided over leaders. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there is no division among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. That's what we're supposed to be. That's why if we're called here for 20 or 30 years, we must agree with everything that's going on, right? I mean, there's going to be little disagreements, little, you know, I'd rather go left, you go right. But, you know, the main purpose is we agree with the vision that the pastors have that God gave them. Colossians 3:14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love who? God? In this case, perfect unity is talking about loving one another. What's the word say? How can you say you love God if you can't love your brother standing next to you that you can see? How many people here have ever seen God? No. Nobody's ever seen the wind. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But we can see God in each and every one of us because God created each and every one of us, right? And by the gifts he's given us. And the main thing that we're supposed to do with all this to complete it and be the perfect Christian is we have those three steps, and all of those are together for one thing, to bring other people to God through Christ. So evangelism is the main job. In the military, back in my day, they called it MOS. That means that you had a specific job or something like that. In the Marine Corps, everybody had one job to start with, and that was called 101, grunt, rifleman. Everybody was trained at that. And then some people, that was their only job. Other people went on to other things, like working in Armory. I was an MP, brig chaser, different things like that. But basic line, everybody was a basic grunt infantryman. You carried a rifle and you shot it to the best of your ability. Basic thing for Christians, we all have one basic MOS, and that is what? Evangelist. Every one of us are evangelists. God chose us to spread his word. He could make every knee bow right now, couldn't he? That's not what he wants. But again, it's through the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to use those gifts, right? The corporate gifts. We have God's word and God's Holy Spirit. Those things right there alone is all we need to go out and be a perfect evangelist, to bring people to God. There are perfect evangelists out there. If not, we wouldn't be sitting here. There's very few of us that had a Paulian experience. Most of it was through somebody. Brian, who kind of led you here? Pastor Don, I know we still complain to him about that. That's how most of us are here. Somebody led us, right? Somebody that was already here, somebody that was already a Christian. Now it's our job to do the same thing. You know, who taught me to be a Marine was my drill instructor, who was already a Marine that was taught by another Marine, just handed down. Evangelism and Christianity is perpetuated the same way, right? One to another. We're just about out of time here, but let me reiterate. First thing, we have to be a Christian. To be a Christian, you have to turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ. Okay? No other way to God. One God, one way to him. Right? Then you have to be able to discern his will. Like I said, he wants you to know what he wants you to do, right? It's not a game. He's not going to make it hard. I want you to do something, right? But I'm not going to tell you what it is. Is that kind of hard? Not impossible, but hard. The king did that with Daniel, didn't he, Pastor? He said, no, I want you to interpret my dream. Well, what was it? I ain't going to tell you. You got to tell me what the dream was, too. And then, well, it's impossible. Nothing is impossible for God, right? So he could tell us that and we could do it, but he makes it so easy because he knows most of us are like me, not that bright. I need direction, and he gives it to us. But what good is that direction unless we do it? I think that was a lot with what Pastor John was talking about last week. We've got to get out and do it, right? And all that doing it evolves around one basic principle, and that's evangelism, spreading God's word. How am I to know the word unless someone tells me? How am I to know about God? How am I to know about Christ unless somebody tells me, right? And that's each and every one of our jobs. If you do those four things, you're a perfect Christian. And again, that's what the word perfect means. Something that has come from God. Everything good and perfect comes from God. And if that's what he's asked you to do and you're doing it, you're a good and perfect Christian. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's, Ken, would you close us in prayer?
Father, we just thank you for the example of perfection that you have given us, Lord. Help us to continue to strive for it, continue to strive to be like you. We just thank you for Bob and for this word that we received this morning, Lord God. I pray that you would prepare each of our hearts to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and praise and worship today, that you would just, Lord, bless this service and just inhabit our praises. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.